Excellent. Right. We are going to get back into our series, which we haven't done for 3 weeks. Big issues, bigger kingdom, money, sex, power, and more in the Gospel of Matthew. We're going through Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel is the most astounding eyewitness account of Jesus' life. And I really wanted us to get hold of that this morning, that Matthew was there. You know, we sometimes, you know, it's 2,000 years ago. It can feel like a long time ago to have an account written by somebody who saw it with his own eyes and wrote it down is just wonderful. So this is an eyewitness account. Through it, Matthew is declaring that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah of the Jewish people, God's chosen deliverer who brought the kingdom of God to earth. What Matthew does is he shows us how Jesus is the prophesied fulfillment of God's promise of true peace and deliverance for all of us, because God made a promise way back at the beginning of the Old Testament to Abraham that through him all the nations would be blessed. So what we want to do with this series then, I'm just reminding us because it's been 3 weeks, is we both want to understand our position, if you're a Christian here this morning, as a citizen of the kingdom of God, of Jesus's kingdom, the kingdom that through Matthew's gospel we see Jesus being declared king of, but also we want to look at what it's like to live under the rule and reign of Jesus Christ, i.e. what is it like to live as citizens of his kingdom? What is it like in the kingdom of God? Now, that then gives us some challenges, because we start to see that the kingdom of God is not like the kingdom of the world, the kingdom around us. And so that raises questions. And so what we're going to do each week in this series is take a question that it raises and look at it through the lens of Matthew's gospel. The idea is that it will equip us to stand firm, because we live in a world that is shaking. We live in a world that is probably the most unstable it's been since I was a teenager, and the big deal back then was that we might all have to go and hide because nuclear attack was coming. If you're my age, you'll know that, you know, that they taught us, and if you were born anywhere between the 1950s and the 1970s, you know, by the time you get to the 80s, you've got huge nuclear missiles and everything else going on, and peace is maintained by that. Now we've got other issues. The world is shaking. We want to stand firm, because our citizenship is not of this world, it's of the kingdom of God. Yeah? Great. So, the big issue that we're going to tackle today, though, is definitely not new. It's an issue that has been with us since Adam and Eve were cast out of the Garden of Eden. The issue is health, or rather, our lack of it. Last year, the UK spent that number, 188.5 billion pounds on healthcare, including the NHS. It's a big number. We also all know, some of us more than others, that the NHS is struggling to meet the needs of the nation in which we live in from a health point of view. So I just want to take a moment right at the beginning of this preach to honour those who work in the NHS and in healthcare. So Dejo, my wife Sarah, who else is working in the NHS? Yeah, we've got Tom there. Jen Williams is out, yeah, and we've got many over at the Stoke site as well. working in the NHS and in healthcare generally. Thank you. You do an amazing job. And I know... Yeah, come on. Thank you. I know from living with my wife that the work is never done. And the need is always more than can be met by an individual. Deja, you will know exactly the same. It's one of those jobs that actually, there are little moments of joy where you see a difference made, but a lot of the time, all you're seeing is a need that cannot be met. So honestly, thank you for what you do. No one likes being ill. And the world has changed quite a lot since we had a pandemic 5 years ago. And there are all kinds of strange bugs around these days. And we know that other aspects of being ill, mental health and that kind of thing, is far more acute and around us than it used to be. It's a growing issue and a growing concern. Just this week, and it's typical really, that as we come to a passage that means that we need to talk about sickness and healing, I've been ill. And it's been getting steadily worse through the week. So to the point that yesterday I was leading God's Big Story. In the afternoon, I was just wiped out. I was done. And I'm still struggling a bit this morning. You know, so no one likes being ill. I find for me, it does a bit of a weird thing. I get quite paranoid when I'm ill because I'm somebody that likes to do stuff. And I find that kind of being ill, for me, is also a sign of our mortality. And I think this is the thing that we don't talk about very much. But illness is a constant reminder that our bodies do and will eventually completely fail us. Eventually, we will lose the battle to stay well, which means eventually we will die. And on that happy note, we're going to go back to the end of chapter 4 of Matthew's Gospel. So we're going to go back just a little bit before the passage that Pete preached 3 weeks ago, just before the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to go back to chapter 4, verses 23 to 25, which is right at the start of Jesus' public ministry. Before we read it, this morning is in the church calendar Palm Sunday. If you're a Christian, you will know that that is the moment where Jesus walks triumphantly into Jerusalem to the great adulation and praise of the crowds around him. We also know that within the space of 1 week, that crowd declaring Jesus King and Messiah turns into a cry to crucify him. We're right at the other end of Jesus' ministry. We're right at the beginning. But we also see great crowds coming to him. Great crowds wanting to hear what it is that he's got to say and see what it is that he is doing. So let's read together. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation this morning, but I'm also going to put the words up on the screen. Verse 23 of chapter 4 of Matthew's Gospel. Jesus traveled through the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. And news about him spread as far as Syria, and people soon began bringing to him all who were sick. And whatever their sickness or disease, or if they were demon-possessed, or epileptic, or paralyzed, and in those days there was no distinction, you know, it was whether you were spiritually ill, or whether you were physically ill. And I love that Matthew clearly draws a distinction between demon possession and epilepsy. You know, they're two different things. A lot of people, and I remember being told by RE teachers, oh, in those days they just thought, you know, if you had a fit, you were demon possessed. No, they're different things. But I want to concentrate on the sickness side of it today. We're not really going to go into demon possession because that's not the main point of this. He healed them all. Large crowds followed him wherever he went. People from Galilee, the 10 towns, your translation may call that the Decapolis, Jerusalem, from all over Judea, and from east of the Jordan River. So, what we get is this explosion at the start of Jesus' ministry. Large crowds follow him wherever he went in the region. And he's healing them. Every kind of sickness, every kind of disease. People are coming from all over the region to see him, to hear him, and be healed by him. I think to get a kind of feel for that, it might be useful to look at a map for a minute. We all like a map. So here's a map. And let's see if we can just explain a little bit of what's going on. So what we've got is we've got the area around the Sea of Galilee. And Sea of Galilee in the middle. We've got the Decapolis, which is the 10 towns we've just talked about down here on the bottom right. We've got Galilee at the top. And what we've got is Jesus has been baptized. He's gone to see John the Baptist. If you remember, John the Baptist is there. And his message is, get ready. The kingdom of God is coming. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and be baptized. And then Jesus himself goes and is baptized. And we have this moment, which I think I preached about a month and a half ago or something, this moment where the heavens open and the Holy Spirit descends on Jesus like a dove. And we get this voice from heaven that says, this is my son with whom I am well pleased. And the point literally where the kingdom of God touches earth at that point. Boom! There it is. And then he goes off into the desert for 40 days. He's tempted, doesn't sin, and doesn't take any of the easy options being offered him. And he comes back. But instead of going to Jerusalem, which is kind of down here off the bottom of the map, sort of somewhere roughly where that microphone is there, is Jerusalem-ish. He goes to Nazareth, his parents' town. He's rejected there. And then he goes to Capernaum, which is just if you can see that, just top left, at about 5 to 12, if you like, on the Sea of Galilee there. There's Capernaum. And funny enough, he finds a bunch of fishermen who he recruits as his disciples. And he starts his ministry. And what we get then is beside the Sea of Galilee, in this region generally is the region of the tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali. That's really important. We'll come back to that in a minute. But news about him is spreading everywhere. Now, if you think about this, this is an agricultural region. It's agriculturally rich. But there's no communication other than word of mouth. And somehow news about Jesus is going all the way down to Jerusalem and as far out as Syria, which is, and you've got another region in between this region and Syria. So it's going a long way. And we've got people traveling from as far as Jerusalem up to see Jesus preach and hear him preach in a very, very short period of time. Now, it's also worth just bearing in mind some of the history of this region. As this region is viewed, if you're down in Jerusalem, you view this region as being a bit suspect, frankly. It's a region of kind of darkness. It's a region full of Gentiles. And that's because of its history, Gentiles being non-Jews. And there are some commentators say there were probably more non-Jews living in that region than there were Jews. Interesting. And so it's kind of not where you'd expect to see the Messiah of God starting his ministry. And the history is, even you can read, if you go back, all the way back to Kings, which is a book halfway through the Old Testament, about here, which tells the story of the kings of Israel, sort of about there in your Bible,
First third, the land is invaded by Assyria and you know, is kind of overtaken by them. And then they've lived with that kind of heritage. It's been constantly invaded, probably because it is so agriculturally rich, all the way through. And so it's a region that is kind of covered in is viewed as one of kind of darkness. It's a region that, even though it has agricultural richness, is not a place where you expect life to happen. Into that, bang, Jesus arrives, starts his ministry. He's teaching in the synagogues, and he's announcing the good news about the kingdom. So what is the good news about the kingdom? As we said, John the Baptist starts his ministry with the kingdom of heaven is near, the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom has come near, though, now in the person of Jesus, who has just been revealed as the beloved Son of the Father. As I said, the dove coming down on him. We see the heavens open to him. At this point, what I want to do is take us back to verse 14 in chapter 4. So if you've got your Bibles, I want to look at the verses just a little bit before the passage that we're looking at this morning. When Matthew sets the scene for this, what he does is he quotes Isaiah. And I think it's just helpful to look at this. This fulfilled what God said through the prophet Isaiah. In the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, beside the sea, beyond the Jordan River, in Galilee, where so many Gentiles live, the people who sat in darkness, as we've just been saying, have seen a great light. And for those who lived in the land where death casts its shadow, a light has shined. So what we've got is a physical, you know, kind of working out of the, or a demonstration of Jesus breaking this. In this region where death has long cast its shadow, how does Jesus demonstrate that the kingdom is at hand, that the kingdom is near? He heals the sick. Sickness points to death. He comes and heals the sick. I am the bringer of life. In a land of darkness, a region scoffed at by others, we read elsewhere in the New Testament, people saying things like, can anything good come from Nazareth, come from Galilee? Jesus shines like a bright light. As we said, the people who lived in the region have been dominated by Gentile oppressors ever since the area was invaded by Syria. The people there longed to be liberated. Yes, it was agriculturally rich. It was kind of, if you like, the breadbasket of Israel. And yet, there was still a large amount of poverty as well. And if you were sick, you were unable to earn. There was no welfare state to pick up the pieces. If you were sick, you are unable to work. And we know that areas where there is poverty, there is poor health. Where there is poor health, there is poverty. These people then are now the first to see the great light of God's deliverance in Jesus. Jesus delivers his life-saving message. It's a really, really simple message. People were coming all the way from Jerusalem, from all around, to hear him say this. Repent of your sins and turn to God. For the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, my kingdom, is near. And the good news about Jesus, it spreads as far as Syria. I love this. Which is, as we've seen, the cause, or was the cause, of the region's kind of downfall, the reason it was held in such low esteem. And suddenly that good news spreads the other way. You've got Syria bringing death in, Jesus brings life up. It's awesome. And so what happens? Well, the people began to bring him their sick. Let's bring our sick to Jesus. He will heal them. He will make a difference to them. Now, what I also find fascinating about this, because I'm somebody who likes practical demonstrations, it's all very well reading the theory. Don't give me a book about nuts and bolts. Give me a pile of nuts and bolts, and I'll do something with them. So before Jesus preaches his amazing, awesome Sermon on the Mount, which Pete led us through 3 weeks ago, he practically demonstrates what his kingdom is like. Before he starts to describe what it's like living in his kingdom, he demonstrates what his kingdom is like. No more sickness, no more affliction, no more disease. The demons flee. No more neurological disorders, no more physical disability. It makes me just want to give glory to Jesus. This is our King. This is who we've been worshiping this morning. Here is the man who will conquer death. Next Sunday is Easter Sunday, the day where we remember that Jesus rose from the dead, having spent 3 days dead in a tomb. And here he is at the start of his ministry, demonstrating that, reversing the power of sickness, turning it from people who are on a path to death to life. All around him, the crowd's full of this powerful reminder of the people's mortality, that sickness is everywhere. Death in the form of sickness of every type is all around them. And Jesus removes it. He heals them. He delivers his simple, powerful message. Repent. Turn away from sin, which leads to death, and turn to God, the bringer of life. And here is a practical prophetic demonstration of that. What Matthew is saying in these passages, come and be part of Jesus' kingdom. Look who he is. This is the one promised by God. The one who will conquer death. The one who turns darkness to light. The one who can take a region like Zebulun and Naphtali, a region of darkness, and turn it to light. His invitation to his readers is, will you turn to Jesus? We're preaching this series because we want us all to understand that if you have given your life to Jesus, you are part of his kingdom. That is your primary citizenship. Whatever part of Coventry or the surrounding area that you live in, you are first and foremost a child of Jesus' kingdom. But in the context of the big issue that we are looking at today, that gives us a problem. We still get sick. I've been battling illness as I've written this preach. His kingdom is here, but it is not yet fully here. And we have to live with that tension. We have to live in a place where we see people healed supernaturally. We see people healed through the hands of skilled men and women like Dejo, Tom, and others. But people still get sick. So how do we deal with that? How do we cope with that? It's made worse because we can see the impact of kind of social aspects into this as well. So if you live in certain areas, then statistically at least you are more likely to get sick than people who live in other parts of Coventry or Warwickshire. So there's an injustice there as well. So I've got a few stats, just to share that with you. And you might not be able to read this, I'll read it for you. For women in Coventry, The highest life expectancy is for females living in Alsley Green and Lower Eastern Green at 87.7 years. The lowest life expectancy is for females living in Henley Green and Wood End at 77.5 years. 10 years difference. For males living in Coventry, the highest life expectancy is for males living in Finham Park at 85.3 years. The lowest life expectancy is for males living in Foleshill East at 72.8 years. If you look at the Warwickshire as a whole, and what's really interesting is if you then spread this out to Warwickshire, the figures for men and women are broadly similar. So the highest life expectancy is for people living in the Stratford-upon-Avon district at about 85 years. Men live not quite as long, 82 or so. The lowest life expectancy is for men and women living in Nuneaton and Bedworth at about 77.3. So this is today. This is the world that we live in. What we know is that healing the sick and raising the dead, in fact, was something that Jesus did throughout his ministry. Who remembers when Jim came to speak to us last September? Do you remember at the joint? Were you here for that? And do you remember Jim encouraging us, you know, if you're a Christian, get out there and spread the good news about Jesus, was what he was encouraging us to do. There is need. And he said, actually, healing the sick and raising the dead are the basics of sharing the gospel. It's like, whoa, okay. We also know that after Jesus himself rose from the dead and the power of the Holy Spirit filled his disciples, they too healed the sick and raised the dead back to life. We then, as Jesus' disciples today, should expect to see and do the same. As we seek to reach our city and the area around it with the good news about Jesus, can you think of a more powerful demonstration of the life that Jesus brings than to walk down the Foleshill Road and see people healed? It'd be amazing, wouldn't it? Absolutely amazing. We do see astounding healing. If you were here a couple of weeks ago, Rachel Dean shared a testimony with us about the amazing way that God has healed her. Rachel's in Wales today, but has told me that I can share it with you again, just in case you weren't here. So this is Rachel's story. 7 months ago, she ran a half marathon, which, you know, can I just say, as somebody who doesn't run and is never going to run, all respect to you, Rachel. And then on the Sunday, I ran for half an hour. So let me read this. 6 months ago, I went on a run and almost passed out. That's what would happen to me if I went on a run. Seriously though, I could no longer run or even stand up for very long. Something was wrong with my heart, and countless GP and cardiologist appointments ensued. The doctors knew something was wrong, but there wasn't a diagnosis yet. On Sunday, there was an offer of prayer for miracles. I went to the front with something else on my mind, but God told someone else to come and pray for healing with me. As they were praying, I felt something shift in my chest, and since Sunday, I haven't had a single symptom. Thank you, Jesus. She then goes on to say how she has now run a 10K run, powered by prayer. And she says, I will dedicate every run in my life to the God who heals.
It's awesome. It's absolutely awesome. Love it. But I also know there are people here who have been constantly prayed for healing, and they've seen minor things, you know, kind of bits of breakthrough, and others who have been prayed for and just haven't seen healing at all. So we live with that tension. On the eldership team, for those of you who know Simon Brown, you will know that Simon Brown has been struggling with sickness, with joint pain, muscular pain, hip pain. He's had hip operations. He's a young man. Young man. And God's just, and his illness has just taken him out. He can't work currently. And we have prayed for Simon and anointed him with oil and prayed and prayed and prayed. And he's not getting better. What's astounding is that Simon has found the faith to pray for others to be healed whilst he is living with this not being healed, and they're getting healed. It's astounding. So either last week or a couple of weeks ago, if you know Sonali and Derek over at the Stoke site, some of you will know Sonali and Derek. Sonali is another physiotherapist. Sonali's been struggling with something going on in her back and upper shoulder that was just again, taking her out, being completely debilitating, thank you, that. And as Simon prayed for her, it just went like that. She was able to go back to work. It's awesome. And yet this is a man who is living with not seeing the healing that he so longs to see in his own life. Jesus is coming. Right now, we have to live with this tension. This is the promise that we can look forward to. Revelation 21. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be my people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, or sorrow, or crying, or pain. All these things are gone forever." Here's the thing about the work that Jesus has started through his church. The healing that Jesus did during his ministry was only partial. The people that he healed and raised from the dead, that we read about and will read about in Matthew's gospel, still died eventually. But Jesus beat death. Yes. On the cross, and remember this next Sunday, next Friday, he was brutally killed. 3 days later, he rose from the grave. And our certain hope is that he will raise us from the grave when he returns. We want to see people healed supernaturally because of what it says is going to happen. Praying for and seeing people supernaturally healed is a prophetic demonstration of this much bigger truth. One day, after we have died, we will be raised back to life and we will live with Jesus forever. And so when we pray for people to be healed, what we're saying is, this is a sign of a much, much bigger thing. That you will be raised from the dead. That's what Jesus is doing at the start of his ministry. He's saying, "I'm healing you now. Just wait. I'm going to return. If you follow me, I'm going to raise you from the dead, and you will live with me forever with no more sickness, no more death, no more sorrow or crying or pain." And so right now, we do live in that tension. We live in this point where the kingdom of God meets the earth. And we see both the miraculous and we see stuff not happening and we don't understand why. My encouragement is, let's pray for healing. What we want to see is the kingdom of God touching earth. What we want to see is Jesus demonstrating in people's lives the gospel, that we are saved from death to life. So what we're going to do is I'm going to ask the band back, and hopefully, yeah, we've got 10 minutes, we're going to pray for healing. I need it, because even as I'm talking, I'm really struggling with my throat. And there are those amongst us who are struggling with long-term things. There are those amongst us who are struggling with short-term things. Let's ask God to break in. And let's ask God for the faith to pray for healing. We need his help, so let's ask him. So if I could ask the band to play some music, what I'm going to ask you to do is, if you are in any way sick, would you come forward? We'd love to pray with you. We're going to sing. We're going to worship. I'd like someone to come and pray with me, please. And let's see what God does. Great.